not a statement. I've got three Bibles on the stand. I probably only need one for this sermon. But we do need God's help. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Spirit that leads us into all truth. Help us to grasp how this applies to us today. We need your help. Amen. So this is it. Endgame. How's it going to finish? It's all the rage at the moment. Avengers, you've probably heard about the 21 movies that are all leading up to this one finale. It's out, it's at the movies, and some of us have watched it already. I'm not going to tell you how it finishes, but what I want to tell you or ask you is it's exciting, those kind of movies, because you just don't know who's going to last. Who's going to be there? Is there going to be Captain America? Is he still going to be there? Is there going to be Iron Man? Is there going to be Captain Marvel? Who knows who's going to be there at the end of the movie? Now, you might not get excited by Marvel, but you might watch other TV programs or have other things that you get excited about. My family often watch these programs. The Apprentice. You start with 20. You whittle them down. Who's going to last? Who's going to be the one there, picked and chosen and invested in? Maybe you watch the SAS survival kind of thing, where you get, again, a bunch of recruits. You take them through training. Who's going to be there at the very end? Now, these are all kind of the kind of things that the Ashworths often watch and invest our time in. But I think it's part and parcel of our desire to kind of go, well, how would I have done if I was there? Forget Avengers. But how would I have done? Would I be there at the end game? Do I finish the race? Would I be there? Would I be picked? Am I good enough? Am I clever enough? Am I passionate enough? Am I bold enough? Am I strong enough? Am I arrogant enough? Am I violent enough? Am I selfish enough? Well, I wonder as I watch. As I watch Peter, I think of the characteristics of him on his journey. And I think, oh, Peter. Oh, Peter. You see, at various points, he is indeed bold. He is brave, but he's also arrogant. He's gentle. He's humble. He's contrite. He's meek. But he's also violent. He's impulsive. He's a liar. He's afraid. He's a leader. He's a servant. I want to ask the questions, what are the characteristics that God delights in Peter? Why, as we look at Peter, do we see his transformation? We can see the good, we can see the bad, and we learn, hopefully, about what God wants in each and every one of us. In the story of Peter, you think Infinity War is pretty shocking? The story of Peter is pretty shocking. Infinity War is a movie, and at the end of the movie, they fail. All the superheroes pretty much fail. It all goes to pot and half the world evaporates. If you haven't watched Infinity War, catch up. It's a real shock. It leaves you with that sense of, oh, I need to watch the next one. Surely it can't finish like that. As we read about Peter, we're going to get to that point where we're going to go, oh, he's failed. He's hit rock bottom. He's particularly not been what some people thought he was to be. Now, of course, we know Peter started off as a fisherman, didn't we? Peter gets called to follow Jesus Christ. In fact, he says, come and make fishers of men. I'm going to invite you to follow me. And Peter did. When he followed Jesus, he was one of the disciples. And actually, in our accounts, we get a little bit of a flavor as to who Peter was. He was the bold and brave one. He was the one that at one point, Jesus asked to all his disciples, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? You're a prophet, some said. You're a priest, you're Elijah, you're... Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Basically, go to the top of the class. Peter, you have hit the nail on the head. Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. He's the one who is to come. And that, we go on and read, is key. Jesus goes on to say, and I tell you that you are Peter. His name means rock. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Well, Peter the rock, to be honest with you, that's what Catholics believe. Peter the first pope, the rock on which the church is built. And actually, subsequent popes are sending down from the first pope, who was Peter. This bold and brave fisherman, the rock on which the church is to be built. But I want to suggest that in the end game, please don't elevate him as the rock. We're going to see from our passage quite the opposite. But we're going to get to the end of selection and see that it hasn't been his boldness, it hasn't been his bravery, it hasn't been any of the things that we thought maybe would have got him to the end and picked for God and for his glory. We're going to see something shockingly different. Well, it is Peter. And again, this is in John. I'll tell you it rather than because there's much for us to cover. John 13. It is Peter who declares in the upper room, I will lay down my life for you. That's Peter talking to Jesus, saying, if everybody else denies you and fails you, if everybody else lets you down, Jesus, I will. Me, I'm Peter. My name means the rock. I will stand firm and I will not do anything but honor you, Jesus. And so we get to our first passage. Jesus says, really, will you lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. The rock is not the rock, some think. And then having turned to violence, having cut off the man's ear, we see Jesus arrested. And we see Peter's brave boast crash all around him. You see, it starts and finishes with a fire. The biblical text is a coal fire, but I don't think Steve would have let me fire up a coal fire. Besides, Andrew Tanner has these fantastic flames. You see, it was around the fire. They were there, cold, warming themselves. Jesus had been arrested. And the servant girl turned to Peter. You're one of those disciples, aren't you? You're one of those people who've been following Jesus up until now, claiming that he's some amazing man, and he's died. He's been put on the cross. That's you're one of them, aren't you? Simon Peter denies as he stands there by the fire. I am not, he says. Well, it was cold, and as they were standing around warming themselves, Peter was also standing around there warming himself. John 18, it goes on. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked again, are you not one of the disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I'm not. One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked again, did I not see you in the garden with him? It was you. Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, the cock crowed. Oh, how the mighty fell. Peter the rock, fallen three times. Well, the reality is that we grasp that Peter clearly cannot be, shouldn't be, is not the rock on which the church is built. He's a great example to us, though. You see, the rock is the revelation of who Jesus is. It's him that's not going to let us down. Peter is just an example for us to learn, and definitely not an idol for us to worship. They say, don't ever put anybody on a pedestal, because it's so easy for them to fall and fail. Peter and many others. The reality is that we live in a world where we do idolize people. Who do you look up to? Who do you see as a great example? Maybe a Christian leader, maybe a Christian teacher, maybe a youth leader, maybe your parents, maybe a big brother, maybe someone else. And you look up to them. Well, it's great that we see that Peter is bold and brave, and it's great for us to see that he had that revelation given by God, and that was a blessing to him and to others. But we need to also be aware that he is prone to failure as we are. And in this amazing climax, several chapters later, as we read, we see again another charcoal fire. This second time when we see people gathering around, this time for breakfast. Peter is back fishing. Well, I don't know whether he was resigned to be a failure, decided that he'd given up on this disciple lark. Jesus has died. I know people are saying he's alive, but I don't really believe it. But why did he go back fishing? We don't know, to be honest with you. We don't know why he did. It is something that he was familiar to do, but it was a great place. Why? Because it was back to the beginning. Do you remember it was the very first place where Jesus met Peter? He was there fishing. John 21, 15 to 25 tells us, when they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you've caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. People over the ages have tried to work out what 153 means. I don't think it means particularly anything other than a lot. But here we see Peter back around the fire. A very different Peter. He's meek and humble. And then those very words that Jesus says to Peter. Notice how Jesus calls Peter Simon, son of John. When was the last time he heard those words? Well, it's an echo from that very first calling around the fishing nets. Simon, son of John. I've come back to the very place that we started. You've been following me for 3 years, but we've had to come back to the beginning because there's a really important lesson you need to realize. Well, we see Jesus and Peter. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Second time he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt. That's where it says Peter felt hurt because he had asked him a third time, do you love me? I'm guessing he hurts because it's just dredged up the three times that he has denied Christ. It's dredged up his promise that if everybody else fails, I'm not going to fail you. It's dredged up maybe even his, I'm Peter, I'm supposed to be the rock. I'm supposed to be the one on which everybody can rely, of all the disciples. I will not disown you. It's dredged up all of that. Three times
he's asked, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?
Three times again. Why? Because your life and actions very recently, Peter, suggest that you don't love me, or that you're willing to deny me. Your boasts have been empty. Your belief in yourself has been empty.
Peter's brought to this place of pain and hurting, knowing that everything has come to naught. He's back where he started, back to the beginning.
And it's here that I think Jesus goes, you're back where I really want you. You're back where I really want you. Because Peter, it's never been about you. It's never been about you, Peter. It's all about me.
Notice that also Jesus moves from in the early days when he first met him fishing, saying, become a fisher of men. Now the analogy changes to be a shepherd of my sheep. Be a shepherd of my sheep. And what is the qualifications? Well, it's not that he's done anything. In fact, actually, he's done quite the opposite. He has clearly failed the end game. But Jesus comes back to him and says, but do you love me?
Do you love me? Three times he asks. You see, I haven't picked you because of your skill, Peter. I haven't picked you because of your brawn. I haven't picked you because you're great at fishing. I haven't picked you because of any other things. I just want you to love me and follow me, and I will use you to bring my glory. I think all of us need to go on that journey with Peter. I know that when I was younger, I felt like the Peter who was bold and brave, especially when I was a young Christian. I could do anything for the Lord. Well, often it's later in life that you realize how flawed and much of a failure we really are. But there's great strength there. There's strength there because that's exactly where Jesus wants us. Not looking to ourselves as a rock, but actually to him being the one. It is all about Jesus. For he is the one who is merciful. He is the one who is truly loving. And we just need to love him back and follow him. We then get an insight into what's to happen to Peter. Jesus says, I've picked you, but it's not going to be easy. You will follow me, but actually, when you used to be younger, you fastened your own belt and you went wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. And John really helpfully gives us an insight as to what's that mean? This picture of kind of the belt and stuff. He says this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said, quite simply, follow me. From humble beginnings, we soon see a confident Christian, bold and brave, sold out for Jesus, now transformed into a humble, weak Christian. Contrite, in the world's eyes, a failure, but having greater faith in Jesus, having a greater understanding of Jesus' love and mercy. Is this the journey that you're on? Is this the journey that you've discovered? If Peter was on a TV show, he would not reach the cut. If we were on that TV show, we wouldn't reach the cuts. But you see, the TV show shouldn't be about us. It is all about Jesus. He is the hero. He is the one. And we need to respond to him, being grateful for all that he has done. So where do we stand? Are we those who are humbled because we have a high view of ourselves, our faith, our ability,
Or maybe you're the opposite. Maybe you have a low view of your faith. And Jesus wants to say to you, love me and follow me, and I'll build you up like Peter. Well, the end of our passage encourages us even further. It tells us that there's loads more that could be written about Jesus. It also tells us at the end of the story, even Peter, who'd been taught this important lesson, do you love me, do you love me? He then starts going, but what about him? What about John? Is he now your special one? Is he? And you think, oh Peter, you're never going to be perfect. And Jesus says, it's my plan. I'll do with him whatever I plan to do. Just love me. Follow me. Don't worry about other people. That's what you need to focus on. Well, let's spend a little time now in prayer. Spending a little time, maybe that is you. You are Peter, you are bold, you are brave, you're on fire for Jesus, and Jesus loves that about you, but guard your heart, for there will be times when you will be importantly aware of your failings. Spend a little time thinking about how it is Jesus who is great in the big story. Maybe there's you and you're feeling weak, you're feeling helpless, you feel like you're a rubbish Christian. Well, identify with Peter. Be encouraged. Know that Jesus says quite simply, do you love me? And I will use you. Do you love me? I will use me. I will use you. Follow me. So let's spend a moment now thinking of those characteristics and how Jesus wants to come alongside us now to encourage us wherever we are.